Shalom, precious brethren. May we start the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are patient to God because of this morning, whatever other time it is. Thank you, Father, because of the gift of life. And thank God for making me and my brothers and sisters all over the world your children. We thank you, God, for this morning devotion. Thank you, Father, for Andrew Peter and the team that has tirelessly worked to make it workable. And God, as I open your scriptures, as I open my mouth, Lord, do the leading, Father, do the guidance, O Master. At the end of it, O Lord, the glory will be yours. Thank you, Father, for each and everyone who is listening. We put ourselves under your grace and your sufficiency. Bless you, Lord, and worship you, Father, because you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brethren, all over. Sorry, I woke up with a bit of headache, so I was not able to record. And early morning, but we appreciate God for the grace and for sufficiency. Now, we're continuing with what we started yesterday on be perfect. I was asked, also, but I did not mention my topic. I thought I did. Someone asked me that question, be perfect. That's what I'm talking about, being perfect. Be perfect from what we read yesterday, the book of Matthew 5, verse 48. And today I want us to open our scriptures, the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans 2. Going to read for this morning as we connect with what we were sharing yesterday by the grace of God. We heard about the fulfillment. Yes, saying that he came to fulfill the law, not destroy it. We heard that he was turning, taking the law from being physical to spiritual, the actual application. And we know that the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. In other words, I could say that it is actually the actualizing of the law. It's making that law life. And that's why Christ spoke about him not breaking it. And he said, there's no part of that law. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not even a jot of that law shall go unfulfilled. So the implication, you know, sorry, and that's why he insisted that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Otherwise, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It must exceed simply means that they kept that law strictly and observed it devotedly. And you can get to know that if it never perfected them, and them keeping it so seriously and being strict about it, and yet Christ is saying that our righteousness must exceed their righteousness, it means that something has to be worked on us seriously to produce that which will reflect that law, that will make it live in us. Now, in the book of Romans 2, verse, may I read from verse 13. See 13. Yes, exactly. Not 13, sorry, not 13, sorry. It says here, from the verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ concerning and according to my gospel. Now you realize that Paul here is speaking to us about the application of the law. That some way speaks about the law making us conscious of sin. And he's saying that them that sin without the law shall perish without the law. But my most important part was verse 13, that for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So it has to go out of just mere hearing. And our hearing, therefore, must be the hearing of the Spirit that will produce the works, as we had yesterday, Jesus in the book of Matthew saying that, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify God by your works. The Gentiles be glorified God by your works. Now he talks about the doers, the hearers. They are not justified by hearing only, but being the doers of the law. You can only be just by being a doer of it. Now, I may not be able to bring it as well as supposed to come out, but you see, it is something that should put a question and a yearning and a longing in our hearts, in desiring to be the practicality of the law. That is, to be the manifestation as Christ himself was the manifestation, then we should also be the manifestation of that law. And become the implementers, yes, of that law. Because in some of the book of Jeremiah it says, and he would remove, put the law in their hearts. So that he may walk in their midst, become their God, and they will be his people. And God expects also us not only to be hearers, but also to be doers of the law. Sometimes, or most much time, we assume that we are actually the doers. But brethren, if we can go back a bit, that book of Matthew 5, how Christ spoke about this. He spoke about the Beatitudes. And how he said how blessed they are, them that are poor in the spirit. You know, someone who realizes that he is poor will never rest until he has come out of poverty. He works hard to come out of it. But you can't just be poor and be comfortable in poverty. If you become that, you become a street urchin. People who have surrendered to fate, and as they say, and take life, let life be, let be, and let live, and let live. If there's anything to eat, okay. If there's anything to eat, okay. If it can't. But I remember my own father, you know, who was almost, who lost his mother when he was 7 years. And he's my grandpa. That is his father now, never took much care of him. So he never went to school. He had to survive so hard. But he purposed in his heart that he would never waste his youth, but he would work hard and change the course of life. And for sure he did. He was able to educate all of us. We were seven, and remember that I got married, got another seven, and he educated all of them single-handedly without even getting assistance from somebody. So he was working hard to get us out of poverty. So if somebody says he is poor and he knows he can get out of it, he will work hard towards it. And that's when Christ is talking about being poor in the spirit, is when we realize that our state has never helped us, our conditions cannot help us, no. Our way of life cannot help us, our struggles cannot help us. We need assistance. We would cry. There's those even who mourn, okay? There are those who are meek, okay? It's not something that you manufacture. It's not that you make something you make out. It is something that has to be out of you to bring it out. And that's why Paul is talking, it's not the hearers, but the doers of it. And sometimes in this age we are living in that is dangerous, that is perverted, that is ungodly, that almost has to lose feelings. Even what we call the doing is a doing that has no mercy. It's a doing that has no feelings even towards others. So that's what Christ is talking about. That we say if you are angry at your brother without a cause, if you look upon a woman, lust after her, though you've not touched her physically, it's the same thing. Even our thoughts, my brethren, should be taken care of. What we think about a brother, what we think about a sister, what we, you know, this chapter here, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. What is he saying? He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay. That is the thing. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, by what? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let our minds be renewed. How? Because our minds are dirty. Is, you know, the center of demonic war. Before the utterance, before the something has come out of the mouth, the scripture says from the abundance of the heart. So before the something has come out of your mouth, it is something that has been manufactured in the mind. And it's believed in the heart, and therefore it is now uttered with the mouth. So we need to make sure that our ways are worked on, our minds are worked on, our inner being is worked on, brethren. Because we may end up displeasing God because of our inner being not having been worked on. You see, Here, Paul, with the scripture, you know, talks about hearers, not hearers. And that's why he talks about this. You see, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. He's talking about nature, Gentiles, people who have not been believed. You know, like we may try to comfort ourselves, like I've seen in the message circles, people comforting themselves because they have the message, they believe the message, and so on and so forth. Now, you can even misbehave and try to justify your way. But the Bible is talking about we even have Gentiles who don't know the law. They cannot know this word. He was talking about, you know, because the Jews were justifying themselves because they knew the law. They were the custodians of the law. And they could talk, they could misbehave with it, but they could justify that they were holders. They were the custodians. They were. Even Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the gospel belong to the Jews. Okay? So the Jews could justify. That's why they could look at Jesus and know. They could gauge him and judge him by flesh. And even misunderstood exactly who he was. But we have here at people, like the centurion, who didn't know the law. But he heard about, the Roman centurion, sorry, but he heard about Jesus. And he just says, I'm coming home, because he had a servant who was sick. I'm coming to heal him. He said, don't even come, speak the word. He could believe more than these custodians of the law could take it. So it's not just hearers, but the doers of it. So he became more of a doer. And therefore, the Bible is not telling us here now, okay, that these characters show that the work of the law is written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts are meanwhile assessing or else excusing one another. Brethren, that's what is expected, that this word is written in us, and when it's written in our hearts, it carries the life of God, it carries the power of God, it carries the authority of God, it carries the victory of God, it carries the blessings of God, and it carries the power of transformation. You know, I was reading somewhere, Brother Branham talked about the sickest body that he knows on earth is the body of Christ. Why? See, because there's more of portraying law than, let me always say, there's more of, you know, of being seers than doers. And we must bring it out of that to it being ourselves, us being it, us being that law, us being that gospel. That's what Paul says here, you know, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, oh yes, their conscience, also bearing witness. Does our conscience bear witness of what we claim to believe? Our minds clean. Our minds purified. Our works acceptable before God. Because it's not how much we talk, but it's how much we do. And as we talk about here, our conscience bearing witness and our thoughts are meanwhile excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul, I'm so confident and sure, and he's saying that the secrets will be judged, men's secret, according to the gospel is preaching. Can we hold the same? Can we carry the same? Can we speak the same as Paul did, that our minds, our conscience, our judgment is as he judged? In fact, I was in verse 2 of the same, did I finish? Chapter 2, verse 3 of the same book of Romans. Romans 2 verse says what? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? O, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and repentant heart treacherous up unto thyself's wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We have been questioned before we talk. Have we evaluated our condition, our ways, our standing in regard to the word of God? Is a challenge that the word of God is giving us, more so now that we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.